And we'll read verse 16. Verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 3. This is Paul's desire for the Ephesians, and it's God's desire for every one of us. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This morning we had a profitable Bible reading on spiritual growth. I want to speak on spiritual strength. And there is much weakness among us, and we all need to be strengthened and fortified, especially for the day in which we live. We read in Proverbs 24, verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Now, our strength doesn't have to be small. We have the Spirit of God within that can strengthen us. So our strength doesn't have to be small. Now, I want to speak of, first of all, spiritual strength for everyday living. We read in Ephesians 3, verse 16, Paul's desire for the Ephesians and God's desire for us, that we might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And there are two ways especially the Spirit of God strengthens us. One is in prayer, and the other is through the Word of God. Like, for instance, Psalm 138, verse 3, in the day when I cry, thou answerest me and strengtheneth me with strength in my soul. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. We read in Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou keep his mind in perfect peace, who stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Then we read in Isaiah 30, verse 15, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. In Isaiah 40, verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, that created the heaven and the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So thank God the Spirit of God can strengthen us in prayer, and he desires to do that. We read in Psalm 84, verse 5, blessed is the man who strengthens in thee. Not in himself, but in thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them appeareth before God in Zion. So the Spirit of God can strengthen us in prayer, and it can strengthen us through the Word of God. We were discussing this morning on spiritual growth, 1 John 2, verse 14. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the Word of God abideth in you. You've overcome the wicked one. And we all need the Word of God abiding in us. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 37, verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So thank God the Spirit of God can strengthen us in prayer and the Word of God. And we need that every day. I have found by experience that it's not enough for me to read with my family and then spend over an hour studying for a Bible reading. I've got to read some of the Word of God for myself personally every day. And so we need the Spirit of God for everyday living. We read in Colossians 1, verse 11, strengthen with might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. This is different than the Stoics. This is not stoical endurance, it's with joyfulness, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And we need the might of God for that. And we can link that with Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul could say, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul had to learn it, and we have to learn it. He said, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Mind you, a lot of people can say something different. A lot of people can say, I know what it is to be abased. I know what it is to abound. But Paul said more than that. He said, I know how to be abased and how to abound. He knew how to accommodate himself
to any circumstance of life, whether it's a base condition of affliction or adversity, without anxiety, without distraction, without fretfulness, or he could accommodate himself to an abounding condition of prosperity, without carelessness, indifference, or pride. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I love what the English Revised says. Everywhere I've learned the secret, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We don't have far to learn where the secret is. The very next verse tells us a secret. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, who continually pours strength in me. And we need that, brethren, for the circumstances of everyday living. And then one more verse in Philippians 4, verse 5. Okay, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That word moderation could be translated, let your yieldingness be made known unto all men. But I should say before I go any further, that any interpretation we put for verse 5 has to be in keeping with verse 1. Stand fast in the Lord. He's not talking about yielding principles. Or it could be translated, let your gentleness be made unto all men. But I especially like Matthew Arnold's translation for that. Let your sweet reasonableness be made known unto all men. And that's an exhortation for every one of us, God's people. We're supposed to let our sweet reasonableness be made unto all men. All that we come in contact with, we should make our sweet reasonableness known to them. Now, the next verse has another word for known. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. How do we make known our requests to God? We all know. We just simply tell them. But that's a different word. We're not supposed to go around and tell people I'm sweetly reasonable. We're supposed to make it known. So if we're not supposed to tell them, how are we supposed to make it known? Well, brethren, by the grace of God, we're supposed to so live, day in and day out, that all that come in contact with us can tell by experience that we're sweetly reasonable. The Lord is at hand. W.E. Vine tells us that means the Lord is at hand either near in time or near in place. For this verse, brethren, I much prefer he's near in place. He's right at our elbow to help us be sweetly reasonable. So we need spiritual strength for everyday living. And we need spiritual strength to overcome the hosts of spiritual wickedness arrayed against us, Ephesians chapter 6. So he says verse 10 of Ephesians 6, just the very, very first verse dealing with that. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, we see that the same power that raised Christ from the dead and set him at the right hand of God is the same power available to us. So no wonder we read Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him, which is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And oh, that his power might be free to work in us more and more for the glory of God. So we need spiritual strength to overcome the hosts of spiritual wickedness. We can't stand against the foe by ourselves on our own strength. We can't do it. Psalm 60, verse 4. The Lord hath given a banner to them that fear him, that it may be displayed because of the truth. So every one of us are responsible to let our colors fly, to let me know to whom we belong. We don't do it in our own strength. Psalm 20, verse 5. In the name of our God will we set up our banners. So we don't do it in our own strength. My very first afternoon in Scotland in 1977, I spent in the home of the late brother Robert McFeet. And he told me a very interesting true story of a brother he knew that was in the open air, and there was a heckler who challenged him. And thank God, that first night he was challenged, the believer met the challenge in the name of the Lord Jesus. and the heckler went home defeated, and the child of God went home triumphant. But sad to say, the very next week, the same brother was in the same open air, and the same heckler was there too. Well, maybe he was overconfident because of his victory the past week. So this time, instead of meeting the heckler in the name of the Lord, he met the heckler in his own strength. And this time, it was reverse. The brother went home defeated, and the heckler went home triumphantly. So we can't overcome in our own strength. We need spiritual strength to overcome the wicked one. And then, brethren, we need spiritual strength to overcome the flesh within, the sin principle within. We can't do that in our own strength. In Romans chapter 7, we see failure. And there's one law of interpretation called the law of proportionate mention. And the law is mentioned 23 times in Romans 7. But there's another word that's more often than law, and that is I 31 times, and me 12 times. Why, Romans chapter 7 is the attempt to overcome the sin principle within, or to overcome the flesh within, by keeping the law in one's own strength. And this failure. So no wonder we read in Romans 8, verse 3 and 4, what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Walking according to the Spirit is a higher law than the Old Testament law. The standard in the New Testament is higher than the Old Testament. Why, in the Old Testament it says, thou shalt not steal. But in the New Testament, Ephesians 4, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands the thing which is good, that he might have to give to him that needeth. That's far higher than just not stealing. And then again, the law says, thou shalt not covet what belongs to somebody else. But governed by the Spirit of God, we carry out the characteristics of divine love of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7. And one of them is, seeketh not our own. So that's far higher than the Old Testament law. But walking according to the Spirit, according to a higher law, we're fulfilling the righteous requirement of a lower law. We read in Galatians 5, verse 16, our brother read it this morning, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As long as we're down here, there'll be the lusts of the flesh, but we won't have to fulfill them. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Why, walking in dependence upon the Spirit of God, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I especially appreciate hearing the late David Craig mention about the blessing of Asher. So that's where I got this. It stuck with me. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 24 and 25, about the blessing of Asher. Let him be blessed with children. Surely we want that blessing. We want to have more children born again among us. Let him be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Surely we want our service to be acceptable to our brethren. We're trying to help them. But if we want that blessing, we've got to do what Asher was told to do. Let him dip his foot in oil. And oil speaks of the Holy Spirit of God. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Why, Asher had a difficult path to go. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And that's like the Christian pathway. It's not easy. God expects us to do things that are not natural, but they're spiritual. And so it's a difficult pathway. No matter how you fix those iron and brass shoes, even to get thin pieces of metal and weave them together, it's pretty hard walking around in iron and brass shoes. It's difficult walking the Christian life. But there's something to make a lot easier, walking around in iron and brass shoes. If he does what Asher was told to do, let him dip his foot in oil. And it's a lot easier for us, brethren, walking that difficult path if we're energized by the Holy Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. Paul writes, therefore, he's applying what he's teaching now. He's applying it. Therefore, He's been telling them what the Holy Spirit of God has done. He says, therefore, we're dead is not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. We're just like the unsaved ones if we live after the flesh. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We'll live victoriously. When he's saying we'll live victoriously, I'm not saying we'll live sinlessly perfect. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying this, that sin won't have dominion over us. We'll live victoriously, empowered by the Spirit of God. It's not very often that we have what the Spirit of God has done as an incentive to us. We have it right there in Romans 8, verse 12 and 13. Notice it says, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. Not we do it by ourselves, we can't do it by ourselves. Or not that we sit back and let the Spirit of God do it. But if ye through the Spirit, the two in cooperation, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live victoriously. So it's not very often we have the Spirit of God's work as an incentive. We have it there, and we have it, of course, most often we have what the Lord Jesus has done as an incentive to holy living. We have the two of them in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. There are two reasons there why we should glorify God in our body. One is because of the holy guest within, the Holy Spirit. And the other is, we're not our own. We're bought with the price, the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need spiritual strength not only to overcome the host of spiritual wickedness, we need the spiritual strength to overcome the flesh within. And then we need spiritual strength to keep the word of God and to pass it on. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In verse 14 of chapter 1, that good thing which is committed to thy trust, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. And that good thing, it's a good deposit of truth. And every child of God has within us the Holy Spirit of God that will help us keep the good deposit of truth. So we need spiritual strength to keep the truth and to pass it on to others. And we see that illustrated in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. We read God's word to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people, thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which is sworn to their fathers. So, brethren, when it came to dispossessing seven nations, he had to be strong and of a good courage to dispossess seven nations. But notice the significant change in the next verse, verse 7. It said, only be thou strong and very courageous, thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. And that's striking, brethren. It takes more courage to keep the word of God without turning to the right hand or the left than it does to dispossess seven nations. That's striking. And that expression, turn not to the right hand or to the left, is a few times in the Bible. And every time, the right is first. And I believe one reason why that's first all the time is because we could liken going to the right, going beyond the scripture. And we could liken going to the left, falling short of the scripture. And when we're first saved, our greatest tendency is to go beyond the scripture. So, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do, according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And mind you, that so gripped Joshua's heart. After a whole lifetime of doing that, when he was old and stricken in the years, he told his people, Joshua 23, verse 6, only be thou therefore very courageous, that thou may keep and do all that is written in the law of Moses, that thou turn not aside from the right hand to all the left. So we need spiritual strength from God to keep the word of God and to pass it on. How good it is, brethren, when we can strengthen one another's hand in God, or we can encourage one another in the things of God. I love to think of Jonathan in 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. He went out into the wilderness to strengthen David's hand in God. Even though his father was against David, Jonathan was strengthening David's heart, David's hand in God. It's not a good thing for us to strengthen anyone's hand in rebellion. That's not a good thing. But it is a good thing to strengthen one's hand in the things of God. That's what Jonathan was doing. But brethren, we won't always have a Jonathan. David didn't always have Jonathan to strengthen his hand in God. In 1 Samuel 30, I believe myself that God allowing the Amalekites to smite, to burn the city of Ziklag with fire and to take all the women and children captives was chastening on David for leaving God's land. And so when they came back and they found out that the Amalekites had taken their wives and children captives and they burned the city with fire, they lifted up their voice to weep till they had no more power to weep. So they're all in distress. But David was greatly distressed. David had far greater distress than any of them because his own men spake of stoning him. Verse 6. But how good to notice, brethren, in the very same verse, he strengthened himself in the Lord is God. Brethren, we always have that resource of strengthening ourselves in the Lord our God. When you think of Paul, the very last chapter that he wrote, 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. He said, at my first offense, no man stood by me, but all men forsook me. I pray God it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So even though all forsook him, the Lord still strengthened Paul. So no wonder that's the only epistle of Paul that he not only writes about the grace of God be with you, but he writes in that epistle that the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. The Lord himself, he had already experienced the Lord strengthening him when all forsook him. So he wants the Lord himself to be with the spirit of Timothy. We read in 2 Chronicles 11, verse 17, of some that left the 10 northern tribes. Of course, first the priests and the Levites, they were put out of a job when Jeroboam was king. But then, thank God for them, they were willing to sacrifice further. They left their suburbs and their possessions, and they came to Jerusalem. And the good example of the leaders, willing to sacrifice for the convictions based on the word of God, had a good example, and had a good influence on others. Verse 16, after them, as many as sought the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice the Lord God of their fathers. So no wonder we read verse 17, so they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam strong. For 3 years, they walked in the way of David and Solomon. So it's a good thing for us to strengthen one another. And it's good for us to all be together around the word of God. That in itself is a strengthening for us. So we need spiritual strength for everyday living. We need spiritual strength to overcome the host of spiritual wickedness against us. We need spiritual strength to overcome the sin principle within. And then we need spiritual strength to keep the word of God and to pass it on to others. And then may the Lord help us to strengthen one another individually. But thank God we can always encourage ourselves in the Lord our God.